Parshas Korach. Who was Korach? What was he about? Let's see if we maybe have a little bit of a better understanding, a new understanding, hopefully grew somewhere than last year. Chafetz Chaim says Bereishis when you're 5 should not be the same Bereishis as when you're 20. So hopefully maybe we'll have a little bit of something added. Of course, the usual is always the usual. The Magid Mesharim says about Korach that at that time that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri in Mitzrayim, it was Nisgalgel, the Neshama, in Korach, who was born then. That's what he says. That's what he says. In other words, that when Moshe killed the Egyptian, the Neshama went from that Mitzri, from that Egyptian, into Korach, who was born then. That's what he says. So then technically, we should be able to figure out how old Korach is based on that. How old was Moshe when that happened? So it's a machlekes. So we know Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when they left Mitzrayim. And seemingly, you could say not, especially because the Meraglim have just happened. But seemingly, based on the goings and happenings, this is a maisa that happens right around now in the second year when everyone becomes chosen, and that's why this happened right then. The Korach is bald from the getting shaved, like they said, the Hezel Leviim, and now all of a sudden that's when he's going to complain to everyone. So that's why it makes sense that although there are Mandarim who might have said it happened later, it could be is when it happened. So based on that, Moshe's 80 when they leave Mitzrayim. This is happening the second year. That means Moshe's 82 now. When did this happen that Moshe killed the Mitzri? So the Mandarim. Rabbi Yehuda says that he was 20 years old when he killed the Mitzri. Rabbi Nechemiah says he was 40 years old. The Ramban says that Misamcha Le'ish, that Dasan Aviram said to him when he killed that Mitzri, is Mavur, that he was either right under Bar Mitzvah, 12 years old, or maybe there's a Medrash that seems to say he was 13. So based on that, you make the math cheshbonus. So if at that time he was 40, so then that means then that Moshe was 40. So then right now, Korach would be 42. If at that time Moshe was 20, then Korach right now would be 62. If at that time Moshe was 12, then Korach now is 70 years old. The Chiddush Arim says, I don't know where he gets this from, the Chiddush Arim says that Korach was 132 years old. So that obviously doesn't stem with this Magid Mesharim that is saying that Korach was the Gilgal of this Mitzri that got killed. Not only that, what's also shir on this Chiddush Arim is that there's a Medrash that says that Korach was one of the Toyanei Ha'aron. I guess trying to say how great Korach was Be'etzem, and yet look what he did. So he was one of the people who carried the Aron. How could he be 132 carrying the Aron? I thought you're only allowed to carry the Aron between 30 and 50. So Rabbi Yonason Aibishet says, Memela, based on that, it was 42 or whatever. He says 42. The point would be one of the other cheshbonos, but not this cheshbon of 132. Sfasema says that maybe what the Chiddush Arim meant is that Amol he was Toyanei Ha'aron, which still doesn't really make sense because how many years were they already in the Midbar? Even if you say that Maaseh Korach happened way, way later, it still doesn't fit with the 50 getting to 132. It does not really work at all. Okay, a little shver on that. Fine. But Bekitzer, you could be dealing with Korach having been many different ages in relation to Moshe's age, and hence the argument going from there. Frekt Chassam Sefer. For those of us who remember from Sefer Bereishis, Korach is the name of one of the Alufim by Esav and Eliphaz and everyone. It says Aluf Korach. So Chor is the name of a Rasha. How are you allowed to name that? How could Korach have that name? Now, as far as names from before Noach or before Avram or whatever, Chaim Kanievsky, in Time of Dekra, painstakingly mentions almost about just about every one of them that he found, that of the names, the 70 names from before Avram, you can find just about those names anywhere. So that's Agavat Zeb. We're now dealing with Russia, which is another thing about naming before Avram or not. But we're dealing right now with Russia. How could they name that? So the Maria Sad asks on Shaul, how could he have the name Shaul? It was one of the names of the Malchei Edom at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. So he answers that Shem Rishoyim Yirkov was said by Shloimeh in Koheles, and these people are before. These people live before. Okay, it's a little bit interesting because we know Pashtus that they knew the entire Tanakh. Not only that, I saw Baron Leib speaks out today. He speaks out on this week's parasha. First, he says about did the Avos know the entire written Torah? Or did they just know the mitzvahs? Why? Because it says that Yaakov davened, please don't put my name by the Maisa Kairach. What does that mean, he davened? Didn't they know the whole Torah? Didn't Yaakov know it already doesn't say his name there? Sir Baron Leib says, it could be, you could say, and this is a major, you say, that can answer a lot of things, Agav, that it doesn't mean that they knew exactly the entire Torah. They knew all the mitzvahs. He then goes on to say, because he, I guess either continuing on this train of thought or because of something else, but he says, for instance, all the things in Tehillim, over and over again, it speaks about the Chorban. They didn't know about the Chorban. They knew the Gans Tanakh. Everyone knew about Gans Tanakh, so didn't they know what's going to happen? So on that, he answers that it could be they knew that they would change the Nevuah. But anyways, it's a little interesting that which Shlomo wrote Kehelas and Shemer Shai Mirkav is there. It's a little interesting. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, right? From what's it called? From the Tanoim, right? Shua ben Karcha Tana, right? I think. Hi, Shemer Shai Mirkav. So Taisus in Bava Basra actually says that Karcha was hit the name because it was as if he was, I'm sorry, one second about the bald. No, Fakir. First he says, L'chair, it's the name of a person, and it's similar to Kairah. How can you name that name? So then, what's it called? So the Gliyani Ashas and the Stechemet say that it's only, the name, it's only, we'll get to that in a minute, it's only a problem if it's the actual name. But Karcha is already not the same name, so that wouldn't be a problem. It's Kairach, an oft-used yisoid in naming children these days, whether it's the same name or not. Anyways, the Marsha Sanhedrin says that the name he's called Kairach, I'll shame the Shemama that he did to Klal Yisrael. Forget about his head for a minute, which is probably also a remnant. But the Shemama that he caused in Klal Yisrael, the openness with the Machlekes and that people talk had disappeared in the following Magetfa, he caused that. So that's why it's called Kairach. Chaim Palagi used to not say Parshas Kairach. Well, so it could be that we have a lot of times that you have this. So first of all, maybe it was Hashem Asid. Right? First of all. Secondly, it could be Hitaka had a different name that we don't know, but we're mentioning Hashem, what he caused. I'm only have this a lot of times, right? To get historically in the Torah sometimes is a little bit hard when you run into such Shatim, but yeah.
Okay, unless we pass it with the names of the Meraglim that they
were. Exactly, right. The father weren't necessarily their names at all. Who has, I think Medrash might even say, who has these names? I mean, it was their names based on the Meisim. The father really had that name? No. Ben is a way of saying that, like he was Miyuchas to that. Anyways, Ruchaim Palagi used to not say Parshas Kairach. I guess it was so painful. He would say either Parshas Levi or Ben Levi or Ben Kahas. Agav, Rabbi Yamin Feldbrand, who comes, the Rav and Karastir, who comes here in the middle of the week to learn in the second Seder Kailo and the Alacha Kailo, he told me that there was a certain Rebbe, I don't remember who, maybe the Kotzker Rebbe came to him, I don't remember who, but there was a certain Rebbe that used to be so sick, literally in bed by these Parshias, both all the Averis of Klal Yisrael, and I forget who came to him, and said, why are you still low and down about it? And we've mentioned this, you said before, but it's good to mention now anyways, right? Seemingly one after another, from when the Maimer Chazal starts in Parshas Baleisa, that they ran away from our Sinai and the three Paranas, that's why they have the Nuns, from there, Shlach, Meraglim, Kairach, the Magefa, over and over and over again, seems horrible. Said this Rebbe, and again, many people say this, so these were the only Averis Klal Yisrael did in the Midbar. The only. Right? Count on your hand. How many are there? Less than 10? Believe you me, they were bad. On their level, they were bad. Look at the punishments that they got from it. And they were expected to live like that. But the point is, it's also shvachim that they only did these averis. And I think by Yenna's story with the Yenna Rebbe or whatever, it was Menachem him that Tagan was able to look at it in a better light. Kairach was an usher. Right? We know Kairach had tons and tons of money. Where did he get it from? So the Gemara says that he got from Gimel Matmonius Hitman Yosef. Yosef held three bigger than we can imagine treasure chests. One Kairach took, one Antoninus took, right? We know Antoninus was matched against Rebbe and his what's called. So you're dealing with extremely wealthy, right? They had in those times to preserve fruit, to be able, he had every single fruit whenever he wanted at his table. Today, that's no big deal. In those times, that's how it measures up his riches. So imagine what Kairach had. And one is Genuza is hidden away for the Tzadikim L'Asalavai. What schos did Kairach have that it was nigla to him? So the answers don't necessarily reveal a schos. It's more like a fact about how he found it. Two pshatim sort of similar in the way that they're trying to go, that it wasn't necessarily schos. Kairach was from Levi. Levi didn't work in Mitzrayim. Therefore, Kairach went around Mitzrayim trying to look for this. He saw the money. He had a taiva for it. And he took it. But Memela, since it came in that way, Hashem put almost like a claw into it that he wasn't going to have any good come from it. I guess much like you could say, like we said before, that Klal saw the money that they got from the Yamsuf went for the Egel. That's what they ran after. The money from Mitzrayim, we mentioned, I think some Sefer says, they didn't want to take it. Hashem said, please take it. So they took it against their will. That was used for the Mishkan. But what they took with the Taiva, that was used for Aver Egel. So it's over here, there was no bracha in this money, and that's why it fell apart. The Shevet HaMusar says that Pare, we know, tricked Klal Yisrael. He went out on the first day with the one with the brick, and everyone went, and everyone either was told that they would get paid, or maybe on that first day, they taka got paid for every brick that they did. So everyone did a lot. Everyone did a lot. Kairach did one. Not, I know Shevet Levi didn't work, but Faker, he did Zbedavka. He did one. So now, since he worked, he had to work. But what's his quote every day? One. Everyone else has to build, I don't know, 100, let's say, that they made every day. So what did Kairach do? Kairach went out every day, made tons of bricks, and sold them all. Right? It's not possible for the people to make that much when you have no push of the money, when you're not going to get money. How'd they get it? They bought it off Kairach. That's how Kairach became rich, he says. What? That's why Levi was left alone. You didn't build, you don't have to do. Anyone would have done one. Yeah, they probably, maybe they beat him once or twice, but what could they do to him? We're only going to go by what you did the first day. The Sifsei Kayin, the Shachal Torah says, like we said earlier, that Kairach was Chaymed, had a desire for the Kesef, and the rest of Levi didn't. Because Toivli Teres Pichum Alfiz Ovachasov, we know they were sitting learning. It's like a shvach to them that either the first part they could have found it, or they could have realized these chaps of the money to be a businessman. But Baruch Hashem, they chose the way, the Shomru Derech Hashem, that they sat and learned Torah.
Kairach knew that later on, it's going to happen, that the
Tzriim
are
going to
tell them.
It says, Kairach Pikeah Haya. I mean, I don't know. Is it possible that such a smart...
Why didn't he tell anybody?
Listen, what's called Rabbi Rochum says at the end of this part, forget about the Shtikl Torah itself, but at the end of this parsha, Rabbi Yerucham says, it's a few bold lines. I think it's him who said this over. We learned this parsha differently than the whole rest of the world learns it, that Kairach wasn't who we make him out to be. And obviously, Kairach was on an extremely high level. There was obviously this only little thing that Taka ended up steering him so bad. But whatever it was, Chazal see that a little bit of a place to be nitzvas him, and I guess that allowed him not to tell other people. Or you see how strong money is Taka, right? What's it called? Visalif Devrei Tzadikim. Really? Ha'itachen Ruchayim Kinevsky is going to get swayed by Sheikhad? The Vilna Gemma get swayed by Sheikhad? Yeah. So is it any Pella that the money, the opportunity for the money turned Kairach a blind eye? I don't know.
There's a rabbi, the entire rabbi, said, I can't do it because I feel a certain pull to one of the people to ask him like him. Later he found that the guy who he felt that pull to had put money in his coat without him realizing.
It's in the coat, there's the thing.
I was always wondering, how is it that the Chacham said that anybody can be sued by these gedolim, that there's no way it can happen. It's not dealing like a taiva, the whole of the taiva money. It's something that it's just happened.
So what's it called? Fine. Okay. Vayikach Kairach says Rashi. Parsha zu yofa nidreshes. The first Rashi in the parsha. This is a very, very beautiful drasha in this parsha. Frek the Tazal Torah and many other achrayim. It's aser and halacha to say that this parsha. This is a geshmak shtickle. That's not a good shtickle. You're not allowed to say that. Aser loymar. You're not allowed to say that. So how could Rashi say parsha zu yofa nidreshes? What? That means a shver. You have to work on it, but to trash it, chas v'shalom. Of course, you're not allowed to do it. So how could you say parshas who yofen dresses as if this is nice and others are bad? So zok the taz ala Torah. He answers that in the entire rest of the Torah, Rashi darshens all peep shot, and we know there's always the Medrash, and Rashi goes tries to go all peep shot. But here, you can't go all peep shot, because v'yikach karach, who took karach? So Mela Rashi says here you have to go. Here you have to go with the drasha, with the medrash of that that he took, that his heart took him on his own. Rav Aaron Levi so brings down from Tiferes Yisrael Epis and others that taka, it's only a problem when you say this is not good and this is good. But for Rashi just to say this is good, then that might be okay.
Really, there's a half a minute to say that it wasn't good. Rashi saying no, don't think like that. It really is good.
Maybe. Prima Gadim would say about this week's parsha that the whole rest of the year, okay, you have each parsha has its time when you darshan about it. He said, but this parsha, machlekes, you could speak about it the entire year. Entire year you could speak about how to deal with machlekes. Okay, so we know it says Ben Levi, right? That it's only Misyach, like we said before, that it only is Misyachas him to Levi, not up to Yaakov. Why not? Like we said, Yaakov Davin, that I shouldn't be mentioned over there. Frecht, Rabbi Rucham, everyone knows, so what does it help? So says Rabbi Rucham, because Hagufa, everyone knows in the rest of the Torah, from Divrei Yamim, from the Yichus and Shemais and Ve'era, everyone knows clearly already who Korach's father or grandfather v'chulu v'chulu are. Why does it need to say anything over here? Teretz is, whenever it does this in the Torah, it's trying to tell you something that everyone has what to do with that. Memela, the fact that it did it, it's trying to show that all these people, in some shape or form, even if it's not as blatant, right? Are you going to tell me that Levi did what Korach did? Are you going to tell me that Kahas did what Korach did? What do you mean? Kahas was Zeich, that the Kainim came out of him. And you tell me that? But in some shape or form, Chazal were able to say, for instance, Chazal or Taif is Leah about Dina, right? Dina bas Leah. She's a Yatsonis, she's a Yatsonis. What do you mean? Leah went out as a Yatsonis to get Yaakov for Yisachar, beautiful thing. Dina was a Yatsonis that she ended up with Shechem. But there it is, there's that little bit of Yatsonis that you're able of going out, that you're able to see, so too over here. And Yaakov is saying, don't mention me because I have nothing to do with it. This Shemeth did not come from me. Asks others on this. I saw Bar and Leib asked this. Also, an interesting question when you think about it down to the end. But like Seif Hayyim, Memonoshach, Yaakov, if there's something that did come from you, then what does it help not to say it? And if it didn't come from you, who cares if we say it? In other words, I don't Bishlama. If it would have been all right, don't say me because it's not true. But Yaakov's almost saying, don't say me. But it didn't come from it. Well, okay, fine. So say it didn't come from you, and what's wrong with saying? What's wrong with saying it? Okay, interesting ha'ara. Interesting ha'ara. But, so I just want to mention, like we said before, that Rabbi Yerucham says about Korach, right? What's called famous Mishnah? Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says about Machloikis, compares Machloikis of Korach, Vadasai, with Shammai and Hillel. And the obvious question on that Mishnah is that it's not a fair matchup. It should say Korach and Moshe. Why is it saying Korach v'Adosai lines up? Did not line up with Hillel and Shammai. Wasn't it Hillel against Shammai? So the answer is that Hillel and Shammai were mechaven l'shem Shammayim. So therefore, even though they were on opposite sides, it's really that they were one thing. That they were together l'shem Shemayim. So it's not really two sides that we're mentioning. Masha Enkin and Gufa, the Punkva character, by Korach, we're not mentioning Moshe, who was l'shem Shemayim. You know who we're mentioning that the don't be like? We're mentioning Korach va'adasa. It wasn't against. You're right, he was with them. They were all shalei l'shem Shemayim. Says Rabbi Rochem, that's a beautiful shtickle, but take that at face value. That's exactly what it is. That was the only problem. Be'etzem Korach started off. Hashem, closeness, we want it. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Much like we've said through so many other things. Kali Yisrael with the Egel. They wanted something. Kirvel Sali Kim. The problem was it steered the wrong way. So it's over here. Unfortunately for Korach, it was one thing that steered the wrong way. But Chas V'Shalom, that we should think of him as a... Right? Chazal's Lashon. Nichnas by Rashtos. It doesn't say Korach was a Shaita. Korach Pikeach Haya. So anything we're going to say, we have to realize that it was him on his level, and it was that unfortunate. Okay, Rashi brings down, Chazal say that what did Korach do? He dresses everyone up in talises of tcheles, blue talisim, no strings, no tzitzis on them. And I'm sorry, just go back to the Mishnah. I finally found it now. It's Perek Hey, Mishnah Chaf. Kol machlokes shi l'shem shemayim, soif l'iskayim. Any machlokes l'shem shemayim, it will continue. She'ain l'shem shemayim, it's not l'shem shemayim, ain't soif l'iskayim, it's not going to continue. Hey, zi machlokes shem shemayim, what's l'shem shemayim, zi machlokes shamayim v'hillel. That's shamayim against hillel. She'ain l'shem shemayim, zi machlokes karech gadasi. The question we mentioned before, and another question. We want arguments to continue? What does that mean? If it's Shem Shemayim, then Hillel and Shammai will continue. Who wants it to continue? Don't you want an argument to end? No. Not when it's an argument L'Shem Torah. When it's L'Shem what the Halacha is, it's never going to end. Never ever going to end. Yes, there's a Gemara that does say that Hillel and Shammai married from each other. There's another Gemara that holds that they never ended up marrying from each other. Each one held that the other has Mamzerim in their what's it called? But they still lived as Yidden, Oivdei Hashem, together and trying to figure out the emes. What does it say about Torah? What's called? Maybe we'll mention Bars Chukas. We'll mention now quickly that Ezvoi Vasufa, Darshan's the Medrash, that it doesn't mean people. Although there's another Mandarim that says that, it means that Mitchila Oyivim Zelazel, when you learn Torah, it's supposed to be fighting. Yeah, loud, loud fighting that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, isn't it supposed to be like a library? No, it should be loud, coughing, fighting. And it should be Rizcha D'Araisa. And you know what? Everyone ends up walking out arm in arm, happily as friends. If they don't, that means that they didn't fight correctly either in the learning. They have to, what's it called? That's what Hillel and Shammai were. Halachically, maybe they kept away. Maybe they did go together. Depends. But that's what we're saying. And that's the soifulest kind. It will continue because it's all Hashem Shemayim. So, of course, Torah is forever.
So why does it say by Torah that it's going to end? It's a good thing if it's still Hashem Shemayim that it's going to end.
The tzad of Karach was Shalei Hashem Shemayim. That's why it ended. Shammai and Hillel was the Shem Shemayim. That's why it continued. It's a machlekes that continued because it's a proper L'Shem Shemayim machlekes. Karach was not a L'Shem Shemayim machlekes, like we said. That's why it was Ein Soif L'Iskayim. It will destroy itself. What? He lost all his, right? It says, I think the Ramban reads this, like, he only did it when he had the backing of all these people. He lost Dasan Avirim and their whole house. The 250 people got burnt up. I don't remember right now, I'm sorry. I don't remember if Karach died or not. Based on that. Oh, what's that? What am I saying? He fell in. What am I saying? I'm sorry. No, because I think there might be one shita that didn't happen and he was part of the Makrivit. He was still around for the Makrivit Kataris. Because otherwise it turns out that if he fell in, he wasn't around when all the 250 people were there. So I'm not remembering if that was other shita. But yes, right, exactly. The Pashtus main Chazal is that he fell in. His kids managed to get out because they did Shuvah and he didn't. Was that mean Bechir or not? He's sitting there. Fakir. Yeah, it didn't. What's more Pashtus say saying? Right, every 30 days, like a shawarma, he goes around and around the spot that the Mada Omer, Rabbi Orchan, whoever it is, Marv Basa, was able to lift down his ear in here. Every 30 days, it goes by. They're saying the whole time, Moshe Mitzrayim, it's fakir, it ended.
People could still,
then,
still going.
The Gemara says, it's a Gemara, you have to know, all those Gemaras are also taiched all Agadata, but it's a Pasha, the Gemara also gives Kipshutai. Anyway, so we're saying about the 250 talisus of Tcheles they were all wearing, right? He said to him, well, it was, first of all, what did Karach want? Did Karach want that they shouldn't need anything because Tcheles is the Iker? Or did he want that you shouldn't have to put on white strings? What did he want? So I think it's a Machlekes. It's Machlekes whether he wanted totally Potter. I'm sorry. I said this something wrong. Did he want nothing? Because the Tcheles is the Iker and Tzitzis, and therefore, that's all you should need. Just four beautiful four, that's what he wanted. Or did he want that I should just have to put on white strings, I shouldn't have to put on a blue Tcheles string. That's what it was. I already have the whole Beged. Why should I need a string of Tcheles? Machlekes Acharonim. That's as far as that. As far as the Bayis Mali Sfarim, right, what did he say? Said, I have a whole house full of Sfarim right now. Does he need a mezuzah? Said Kairach. Said Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, no, it still needs a mezuzah. Said Kairach. What do you mean? How could it need a mezuzah? Madoch, 275 parashas that are in the Torah. So that's the lashon today of the Medrash. The parashas, the Torah has 275 parashas in it. It doesn't pot to the house. One parasha is going to pot to the house. Fine, I'll kupon him. What I've down here, and I think many say, is that we don't usually have the truth of Kairach. because they were because it was nichnas ve'ruach shtosim. These were all shtosim. Although I do seem to remember years ago seeing a couple pshatim trying to explain lamaisa what keras havamina would have been. Right? We always have a right in the Gemara to handle havaminas. Right? Ravina says bitata teres kashazamam. Yeah, that means parpada didn't have a makas. Parseitzach parpada had a makas. Just the Gemara's not going there. Keras zicher had a havamina. He wasn't stam trying to be an idiot a shaita. So I don't remember right now what he was trying to taina. Okay, but most people hold that he talked that's good. Reb Leib Chassman said that the Chazal don't say what it was because they were takash tosim. Where do we know? What the Chazal say? Where do we know is the remez that these were the tainus of Kaira? So one is more meforish. It says that it's the smichas of the parashas because since it's just ended the last week's parasha, and now you have Kaira. And as far as the mezuzah, it says that Dasan Aviram came yotzu nitzav in Pesach oil, that they came to the Pesach of their oil, standing there defiantly up against Moshe. And that's what happened. I'm kind of thinking now on the spot that maybe that was part of their downfall. In other words, more cemented their downfall. If they would have had a mezuzah, maybe they would have been surrounded by mitzvahs, like we say with the menorah, that you walk through the door and then you're surrounded by mitzvahs. In fact, they didn't have a mezuzah. Pashas, they didn't have a mezuzah. So Mamela, that didn't save them. Agav, you'll ask me, they had tents, and tents is not kavua. So I saw either Baron Leib or Chaim Kanievsky saying that no, since they traveled al pi Hashem and were chayin al pi Hashem, so Mamela, that's considered a kvius, and l'chayra b'nei Yisrael was chayiv in mezuzah in the midbar. Stamazay, this we get into the shmuz. You'll ask me that it doesn't say mezuzah until Shema and Sefer Dvarim. How does it work? Good. This is all shmuz that pashas. There's midrashim that say that they had tefillin and tzitzis and mezuzah in Mitzrayim, and they kitzis out the midbar. Gansa machlekes. Whether what they had in the midbar, did they only have two parshas in their tefillin because that's all they had so far? Kaddish ve'al kiyacha, they didn't see Shema. I'll click us what happened. Anyway.
What they say after you put on tefillin.
What?
What they say after you put on tefillin. Kaddish.
No, because they knew Shema from Yankiv. They knew Shema from Yankiv. But I don't know. It's a shayla. It's machlekes. Machlekes. Anyways.
The shalosh is only two things.
Yeah. Chavim. Okay, fine. Dasan and Aviram, why did they get into this machlokes? What did they have? What did they have from this? Bishlam Akairach, he's trying to win over Levi. What did Dasan and Aviram have to do? We think, what do you mean? Hey, isn't that Dasan and Aviram's job? They're just doing their job. They're doing who they are, right? All the time. What's called? Last week, I think we mentioned, but if we didn't, we'll mention now. Targum Yosef and Aziel says, who they want to appoint when they said, let's go back to Mitzrayim? Dasan and Aviram. Every single place Dasan and Aviram show up. Who we said back in B'Shalach, who didn't go with Klal Yisrael? Who didn't go with Klal Yisrael until they went through, until almost the last minute? Dasan and Aviram stayed with Parai, right?
By Moshe Rabbeinu when he killed the Mitzri, it was Dasan Aviram.
What?
When Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, it was Dasan Aviram.
Lamaisa Rashi says, Al t'oil rosh oil shcheinai. Mashma, if not, then there would have been tzaddikim. Other mefarshim say that Reuven, they're from Reuven. Reuven got the Bechar Batsim. Batsim, he used to have the Bechar, like many, 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 many moons ago. Because Batsim had already went to all the Becharim, Yosef, whatever, the whole Shtikot Torah. But they're trying to taina that Ephraim is from Yosef. Yeshua is from Yosef. That he is the Mesharis of Moshe. That was their taina. They weren't taining against the Levim and Moshe. They were taining against Yeshua. Why should Yeshua be there? Who says that Yaakov gave it over? Like, that's what they were hoping to win back. But anyways, Agav, I think the Ramban might be clear about it, but many, many Mepharshim say that that Korach kept trying to say Shtikl Torah, that it's really for Gantz Klal Yisrael that he's trying to tie it. Yes, there was a Shtikl Torah for Levim, and you notice, if you go through the Parsha carefully, then you'll notice that sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Altspnei Levi, and sometimes he's trying to say Klal Yisrael. Why? Because he's trying to deal with both of them together, because he knows Korach is trying to get everyone. He's trying to separate. What can I do? Okay, let me try to first get Klal Yisrael out of this. Let me try to deal with Levi. And that's how he's going the whole way. And that's why even after Korach, what Klal Yisrael Shaitim, they just watch everyone swallowed up. Why are they still fighting? It's because Klal Yisrael saw Tainus. You didn't deal with our Tainus. That's how the Ramban goes through the parshas. That's why it could be that Dasan and Aviram had a Shaychus over here. There's another terrace that Dasan and Aviram tried tining. Aaron also served the Egel. So what's going on? Why should he be chosen? Lamaisa, what's pshat that Dasan and Aviram seem to always be in everything? So we've said before from Shalom Shechter that Dasan and Aviram were not gangsters on a motorcycle with the motorcycle jackets. They were Rashi Shiva, refracts, beards, payas. They weren't tired all day. Lamaisa, they were not Bikaris, but get Legabi the fact that they didn't accept that the Gu'ul was from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's, you notice everything is against Moshe. Nothing's against Hashem. Everything's against Moshe. They thought that Hashem has better ways of doing it, and maybe it means other ways. So yes, they're Batsam Apikiris, but just you have to know how it was. So it's two things we can learn from this. One, to not think of them as that. The other thing to learn is that, maybe Punk Fakarat, that you don't just be careful from a motorcycle guy. You gotta always know that if your Rebbeim tell you that someone looks like the biggest in the world, but Batsam he's a dangerous fellow, that he's a missionary, he has tricks up his sleeve, it's not on Zermahalach, you also have to know how to look out for that. Maybe that's another thing that comes out of this. You see this Grace Rashi Yeshiva, that really, where they talk. The people at the start of Zionism look just like you and me. Frumer. They had fracks, they had beards, mamish, Grace Zachen. Eventually, when everything went, then they threw everything away, but they looked exactly like us. It was very slippery and sticky and tricky at the beginning. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was one of the only few that was able to chop of what was going to be at the way beginning, and everyone thought he was crazy. So many Rabbanim in Europe were behind. Finally, so many came around, and they said, oh, it's too late, we should have been masking to Reb Chaim right away. I agree. Points out the Mizanayim L'Torah. Dos Avirim always seem to get away with everything. Until here. Why? Because here, you'll tell me in every place that the Yisoid was also the following. Okay, but Lamaisa, this is obviously the most boilet. Here was pure Machlaikas. Pure Machlaikas. You'll tell me every else that was the Yisoid? I guess you're able to answer up that it wasn't necessarily. It says Rav Zalman Sirotskin, here was Machlaikas, that's what destroyed them. Right? We know, what does it say? That the Dor, I forget who, they used to lose wars because they said Lashon Hara. Dor Shel Achav, there was Shalom between them, and that's why they served up by Zara. But they won every war because they had Shalom between them. Machlekes over here, goodbye Dustin Avino. Oin Ben Pelas. We know his wife saved him. Right? Chachmas Nanshim Bantza Besa, says the Gemara. The wife builds the house. What was the Chachma? She said, say Chazal, she said, Saivi. You're going to be a Talmud either way. Sai of Moshe, Sai of Kerch. What's the difference to you? What do you care? So, Lamaisa. Fine. Reb Chaim, there's a Maisa with Reb Chaim Soloveitchik that the Stricker of a Rebbe was Nifter, and the son, for some reason, did not want to be a Rebbe. So he had two grandchildren. There were two grandchildren. Most of the people wanted one of them to be, because he had a shita that they agreed to. And the other one did not have the shita. That's why they wanted one, not the second one. But Lamaisa, I guess both grandsons were fighting it out. And they went to Reb Chaim. The people, I think, went to Reb Chaim to ask what they should do. What they should do about this. Who should they go behind? So Reb Chaim said over Oin Ben Pelas, his wife. She asked, what's the difference? What do you mean, what's the difference? Bad question, lady. I want my person in office with my views. What she said? Ooh, Saivi, you're going to be a Talmud. What do you mean? Huh? But I want Kairach. Said Reb Chaim, because these days it's easy to see. Politicians, when they're going in the running, in the elections, they say everything that you want to hear just to get you. Once they get into office, they're gonna do what makes sense at the time based on public opinion at that time or whether they have other interests. They're just saying it now. That's what Oyin Ben Pelas' wife said to him. What's the difference to you? Kairach, Moshe, Saivi, you're going to be a Talmud, and who knows if any of them are going to keep what they're saying. Now, Chas v'Shalom, not that she necessarily was discrediting Moshe, but she was at least able to save her husband through it, so maybe she was allowed to say it in such a nusach. Right? We know she took off her head covering in order to save. How should I do it? Ba'isai, to save from Machlekes, maybe, or save her husband, whatever, she was allowed to. Said Reb Chaim to these people, you're fighting over the Rebbe's Lamaisa, who knows what's really going to be when they get into office. Just let them decide between themselves who should be, and that's who should be. What? As we always say in Brisk, the Sofer the Maisa's Mishnah game. What's the cheshmer of 250 people? from every Shevet, he took us on Hedron Ketana of 23, Chaf Gimel. So 23 times 12 is 253. So that means you have 250 plus Dasan Aviram and Kairach. That's how you get the Cheshbon of 250. Yeah, here, 1 second. Is that right?
No, 23 times 10 is 230.
Yeah.
Plus so then 23 is 250.
24. No?
I mean 253.
Oh, 253. So now.
So now you have 11 shvachim. 23 times.
I guess you'll say you count Yosef as one, Levi is not. It's against Levi, it's not really participating, and then Kairach doesn't make it, so we say, I hear. He ended up trying to fight for Levi, but he didn't necessarily take anyone from Levi.
So,
right?
Did he take 23 from Levi or
not? Clear or not, maybe not.
So then how is he counted as part of
the... He's the Reish, what do you mean?
No, but how is he?
So
you're saying 23 from each Shevet. If it's not including Levi, so then
fine. So no. Yeah,
so then there, see, one of them obviously only had 22.
No, come on. Each Shevet will have a Sanhedrin Ketana. Levi won't have any. Kairach plus Dasan Aviram, I guess extra on their Sanhedrin Ketana. That's what you have. Levi won't have. You could say, you could hear from the story, yes, Kara got Levi behind, but who says that?
If he's there, then you have to minus off one from the 253. And so one of the other Shvatim, if Levi didn't have one.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
One of the other Shvatim.
I hear what you're saying. Right, we know what's it called, right? So afterwards they make the Shikotara, right? Like we said from the Ramban, that even after the Maisa with Kairach, it wasn't clear that Klal Yisrael is the that Aaron is the chosen one. So Mamela, that's why they do the with the sticks and Parach Mate Aaron Lebeis Levi, right? So and it was Vayig Moshkedim. So they say that the Baal Turim says that Shkedim is Gematria Chashmenayim, meaning that the Chashmenayim will be the continuation of the Kahuna, and Vayigmal is the Gematria of Chanukah. Just end off with one. In Medrash Tehillim, it says, Dover Acher, yeah, first capital in Tehillim, Ashrei Ish Ashaloi Holach, that Kairach said Leitzonis, Maisa with an Isha who's an Almana, that she had a field, and what's it called? And all you had a second. Maisa with the Isha Amana that has a field. Maisha came to her and started telling her, "Oh no! You think you're a poor little lady who's going to be able to live life simply?" Said Kairach was trying to tie. No! You have to leave leket. You have to leave shikla. You have to leave peya. You can't plow like this. You have to do this. You have to take off trumas and maestras. Finally, she starts trying to raise some animals. Aaron comes and says, "Give me rachis agez. Give me Israel chayva keva. You have to put tzitzis on your kids." And it's taking every single thing away from her. Says the Medrash. That Kairach was trying to make a litzanis. We just think, okay, whatever. Medrash is saying that Kairach was trying to make a litzanis of every single thing that Aaron did. Perhaps that could be understood why on his level, why the punishment was as it was. Bez Hashem, we should be zeichet to only Shalom Agutin Shabbos.